There's one pointer finger. And there's nobody else, there's no other part of the body that can do what that finger does. There's no other eyes, there's no other ears, there's no other part of the body that can hear, no other part of the body that can see. So we've got to submit ourselves to that part of the body, because when they're doing what only they can do, they are authority. Somebody said amen. See, this is so important, because if we don't see one another like that, that's when we start tearing one another down. I ain't going to esteem them higher than myself. I'm not going to be subject to them. I'm not going to be submitted to them. See, and even right now, some people in the room are like, well, I thought we were only supposed to be submitted to the pastor. Well, yes, you are submitted to the pastor in the pastoral role, because that's the role that a pastor plays in the body of Christ. But that's just one role. That's just one point and one place in the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. You see, and when everybody is doing this correctly, see, now here's what, this is why it's a little quiet in the room, because some of you are like, well, man, I don't know, all these people in authority, that don't sound right, and that sounds like that could be chaos. You got all these authority people and on and on and on. The only way it becomes trouble is when those people, it starts to be about them. That's the only time this system that God established, that's the only time it gets messed up in the church, is when we mess it up because, bless God, I'm in authority. And you got to listen to me. And don't you know who I am? And don't you know what my position is? And our flesh messes it all up. And what happens is a lot of times in the church, we have a knee-jerk reaction. And so because carnal people messed up a beautiful system that God established, then we've kind of went to the other end of the spectrum or the pendulum to where now it's just, we're just submitted to the pastor. And it's just the saints and the pastor, and all the saints are subject to the pastor and submitted to the pastor, and that's it. He's the only authority. Because some people messed up a beautiful system that God established. And so then what happens? Here's what happens. Then everybody in the church looks to the pastor for sustenance. Everybody in the church looks to the pastor for help and strength and encouragement. But guess what? The pastor can't be that for everybody, because the pastor's one member of the body. And no matter how much I may try to help you, there are things that I just don't have. And the reason is because the person you won't submit to is the person who's got the thing you need.
Oh, hallelujah.
Brother Rima, I'm teaching good tonight. You see? And so this is what you guys got to understand something. And I'm just giving you a little background. I get calls to go and preach and teach some of these very principles that I'm talking to you about right now, because word has, this has nothing to do with me, it has everything to do with you, but word has gotten out into some certain circles of the body ministry in this church. And there are pastors that understand that says, hey, we're operating in a wrong concept in our church. We are operating in the concept that the pastor has to do everything. And the pastor has to minister to everybody. And we understand that's not right. We got to get to a more biblical concept of the body ministering to the body. And so first off, I just want to say a great big thank you to all of you who have submitted yourself to the process, because not only has it greatly affected this church, but it is also more than what you know. It is affecting other churches in our movement because of your willingness to submit to this principle. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So, where were we? So without everybody else, we're never going to be able to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. Oh, hallelujah. This is what Paul, I believe, was talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but God that gives the increase. Notice, they got the principle right. Paul wasn't saying, I'm the one that plants. Everybody look at me. And Apollos wasn't like, I'm the one that waters, so everybody look at me. No, they had this biblical principle correct. Paul said, yeah, I'm the one that plants. And Apollos says, he's the one that waters. But guess what? When we are submitting ourselves one to another and doing what God called us to do, it puts us in a position for God to then step in and to cause the increase. Paul didn't take it. Credit for the increase. Apollos didn't take credit for the increase. They understand we're just trying to do what God called us to do. We're just doing what our place in the body is. And when we're doing what God called us to do, it releases God to work a work that we could never accomplish in and of ourselves. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. So that's why it is so important that you and I are operating in our God-given giftings and talents and abilities and our place in the body of Christ. And we're doing so not with the desire to have a name for ourselves, but to simply glorify his name. Because when we do that, and you do that, and I do that, and you, and you, and you, and you, when we're all doing it, it then releases God to give the increase. Let me show you why this, everybody good? Let me show you why this is so important. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Now, you know what, I'm going to skip through this, but just understand something. If we are purposefully trying to discredit the ministry of someone or hinder them in some way, harm them in some way, treat them some way so that it inhibits them from operating in their God-given role. You have to understand that you are fighting something that pleased God. Now, I just have to believe that if somebody is operating in a role that God, it pleased God for them to operate, I just have to believe that it would please God when I'm submitted to that. And when I esteem them higher than myself, and when I submit myself to that individual, if it pleased God to put them there, then it pleases God for me to be submitted to where he put them. But it also would displease God if I don't. Ooh. So I'm just going to go ahead and try to do what I'm supposed to do to please him. Because I don't want to displease him. Somebody said amen. So it pleases him. Ephesians 4, 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted or connected by that which every joint supplieth. See that? I want you to notice. Now watch. From the whole body fitly joined together, compacted, connected by that which every joint supplieth. I want you to see that the supply comes at the place of connection. So that lets me know if I stay connected to the body, I stay connected to the supply. Woo, come on, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Well, Pastor, why are you preaching about the body so much? Because of that right there. Because if we don't understand that, we get disconnected from the body. And then we get disconnected from the supply. And then we wonder why we're struggling all the time. Why this and why that, and I'm struggling, I'm this and I'm that, and it's horrible and terrible and all this kind of stuff, and there's no supply. Why? It's probably because we are disconnected from the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And I don't, this isn't in my notes, I just feel it right now. Somebody in the room is saying, well, I would be connected if people would reach out to me. I would be connected if somebody would call me, if somebody would ask me out for coffee. If somebody would out ask me out for dinner, I would be connected. If somebody would reach out to me, show yourself friendly. You know what that means? It's telling us that you're not supposed to just wait for somebody to be friendly to you. You be friendly to somebody else. It's a lie from the devil. See, here's what, man, come on, Jesus. The enemy convinces us that we are doing right because we tell ourselves we would be connected. I don't have the problem with the connection. The church has the problem with the connection. I don't have a problem being connected. If somebody would call me, I'm happy to connect with them. If somebody would invite me out, I'm happy to connect with them. So I'm not the one with the problem. They're the ones with the problem because they're not asking. And how many know the devil's subtle? And if his lies weren't believable, we wouldn't believe him. And he convinces us that we're right and the church is wrong because the church isn't reaching out and we're not disconnected. The church is the ones disconnected. And here we are disconnected from the very thing that is giving us the source of strength. Hallelujah. Listen, yes, it would be ideal for others to reach out. And that's biblical as well. But it's also biblical for you to reach out. If you have, those that have needs, you find the elder. Is that what the Bible says? You call on the elder. Have him pray over you. It doesn't say the elder go to you. It says you go to the elder. Come on, Jesus. And so you got to get this because that's such a lie from the enemy and it keeps people disconnected from the source. And the whole time they're disconnected, they think they're doing right. And they're not doing right. They're believing a lie from the enemy. If nobody's reaching out to you, you reach out to somebody. Well, I just don't want to bother people. That's a lie from the devil. It's a lie from the devil. That's the whole, listen, it doesn't matter what people's jobs are, careers are, whatever. Their number one calling is to be a witness for Jesus Christ and to minister to the body of Christ. They might not be able to just jump and do it exactly right at that moment, but give them a day or two and let them figure it out and they'll set something up. Am I making any sense right now? You say, well, I just don't want to bother them. Everybody's so busy. No, the greatest thing any of us could ever do is to minister one to another because that's what we've been called to do in the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. The book would say it like this, Psalms 133 and verse 1, a song of degrees of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the Mount of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Where did he command blessing? He commanded blessing on connection. How beautiful, how wonderful it is, how pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity or connection. And where did he command the blessing? The place of connection. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, is that powerful or what? Everybody good? That's such a powerful statement to me that the Lord commands blessing at the place of connection. If he commands it, it's a promise. I said, if he commands it, it's a promise. That means this. If I stay connected to my brother and my sister in the Lord, if I stay connected to them, it is promised by God for the command of blessing to flow in my life. I don't have to wonder if it's going to happen. I don't have to wish it's going to happen. I don't have to say, well, it'd be really great if it happened. No. The promises of the Lord are sure, and he's not a God that he should lie. He commands blessing at the place of our connection. That's why he's talking to us so much about being connected, because he wants to raise the level of blessing in somebody's life individually and in this church collectively. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody put your hands together. Give the Lord a praise. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ephesians 4:16. Oh, hallelujah. from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted or connected by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint. So there is to be a supply of spiritual health, strength, blessing, and goodness that is released from every joint or every member of the body. Not some, not a few, but every member. The only way the body as a whole can benefit, listen, from you, the only way all of us can benefit from you or from I is when we are operating in the call of God that is on our lives. Jesus, help us right now. So if we don't know what God has called us to do and we're not doing it, we are hurting the body of Christ. If we don't know what God has called us to do, and therefore we're not operating in that calling, then we need to make that a matter of serious prayer so that we then can know with an assurity, this is what I'm called to do. And you get counsel and you get help, and the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom and authority and all this kind of stuff. But this, and it's confirmed in you, this is what God has called me to do. And then we begin to do it. And as we begin to do it, we then begin to help the body of Christ like never before. But if we're not operating in that God calling, then we are hurting the body of Christ. We're hurting the body of Christ. If we're just coming and sitting on a pew and not doing anything, not doing a God called thing, then we are hurting the body of Christ. Because it simply means that we don't know what it is because we haven't taken the time to figure it out. Oh, hallelujah. So it is vitally important to the health of the whole that individuals know what God has called us to do. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands in the presence of the Lord, shall we? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can I have a few more minutes? Just a few more. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, watch, in the measure of every part. In the measure of every part. This simply means that whatever place the Lord has planted you in the body, he has also given you the measure necessary to accomplish it. You see, now this is important for us to understand. So, you know, the muscle, this muscle is obviously far greater than the muscle in my pinky. Right? But the Lord put the appropriate amount of strength in both places to accomplish that part of the body. The pinky doesn't need this to do what the pinky's been called to do. And for sure, you can't have pinky muscle right here, or else this wouldn't be able to do. He measured it out beautifully, perfectly. Oh, hallelujah. So first off, let me just say this. If God called you to do something, no matter what it was, don't question that he also will not give you the ability to do it. And I feel the Holy Ghost now. If God called you to do something, it might be scary, it might terrify you, but if you know God called you to do it, I'm not talking about calling yourself to do it, and I'm not saying doing it because you want to measure up to somebody else, or you want to be like somebody else, because then you're on your own. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name. I don't know why. There was an individual my dad told me about. This individual, my dad knew good and well. He was in his church that my dad pastored. My dad knew good and well this individual was not called a pastor. He knew it, but the guy was like, "I want a pastor, I want a pastor, I want a pastor." And my dad was like, no. I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to pastor." So he left him, unsubmitted, went and did it. And the very first thing that he did when he got some little small church somewhere, the very first thing that he did was he went out on the church sign and put his name. It was almost like that's what he wanted to do the most. That's what it was for him, was just to have his name on a church sign as Pastor so-and-so. He wanted the title. He wanted the position. And as you can imagine, he failed miserably because God didn't call him to there. God didn't give him the strength necessary because that's not what God called him to do. So don't do something you're not called to do just because you want people to look at you a certain way. Hallelujah. You do what God called you to do. I'm trying to help somebody right now. You do what God called you to do. And it doesn't matter if somebody else may be doing something that you think is more than you. Don't try to do more, because the moment you go beyond what he called you to do is the moment you're going to be in your own strength. The moment you're going, that's the moment you're doing it all by yourself. Oh, hallelujah. And you don't want to do it all by yourself. You want God to give you the strength for it. But if God called you to do something and it's a God calling, then he's going to measure out the appropriate strength, talent, ability necessary to do it. So when you step into that role or you continue to do that role, you can do so with an assurance that, listen, I know in and of myself I don't have it, but it's not just physicalness here. There's divinity in here, and he has given me the power necessary to accomplish what he's called me to accomplish. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But again, that's why it's so important that everybody is doing what you've been called to do, because you have the strength to do it. But if you're not doing it, then that means somebody else has to do what you've been called to do, and they don't have the strength to do both. So it weakens the body, because somebody who's given the strength to do this is having to use some of that strength to do what you've been called to do because you're not doing it. That's why everybody needs to know what you've been called to do and do what you've been called to do. Last point, and I'm done. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. If we're going to truly see the increase in this church, how many want to see increase? How many want to see revival? Come on, how many want to see increase and revival and souls being saved? Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you how we're going to see it. We're not going to see it because of the pastor's preaching ability or lack thereof. We're not going to increase because of our worship team's ability. We're not going to increase because a few people are watching, or everybody else is watching a few people with giftings and talents. That's not what the increase is going to come from. The only way we're going to truly increase, as the Lord has promised us as a church, is when you and 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 you find out what God has called you to do, and then do it with all your heart. And you, when you start doing what you've been called to do, and you and you and you, God gives the increase. And the church begins to grow. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I'm done. I'm not done, but I'm done. Got some people dozing on me, and we're just going to, listen. Let me tell you a case in point, and I'll be done. When my wife and I were gone on sabbatical, the Lord's given me revelation about this even then and when we got back. When my wife and I were gone on sabbatical, we were gone for 6 weeks, the church grew. The church grew. Now, you know, in my flesh, you know, I wanted great things to happen, you know. I ain't going to go down that road. But the church grew. You want to know why the church grew? Because this church had to come to an understanding that, hey, pastor's not here. Sister Michelle's not here. We're going to have to make sure we are operating in our God-given roles to the fullest extent that we've been called to fulfill. And the church increased because the church got a revelation of the necessity of operating in your role. Please, let's not go backwards just because we're home now, or we'll leave again. Greatest revival our church has ever seen is when we're gone. Baby, let's go. The greatest thing we can do for revival is leave. But let's not go backwards and fall back into that same mentality. Well, okay, pastor's back now, so okay. We can just get back to letting him, you know, whatever. It's important. God is speaking to us that when we operate in our God-given roles, everybody doing what you've been called to do, there's increase. There's increase. Let's stand. Let's stand. I love you, Lord Jesus. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. God, I love you, Lord Jesus. 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 Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for the body of Christ, Jesus. Thank you for the body of Christ, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, if you don't know what your calling is, if you don't know what your purpose is, if you don't know what your place is in the body of Christ, you need to go on a journey starting tonight. Starting tonight, the next couple of weeks in prayer. Oh, hallelujah, to figure out what it is and let God speak to you clearly. And then get counsel and let it be affirmed by authority, confirmed, and then begin to operate in it. I believe there's people in this room right now that God has called you to some things, but you're intimidated at the calling. But the Lord wants you to understand and know that if I called you to that point and place in the body, I'm going to give you the strength necessary for it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.